To the rest of the day's news, and the UN's top court has rejected Kenya's claims in a maritime border dispute in the Indian Ocean. Somalia filed the lawsuit with the International Court of Justice in The Hague after Kenya awarded exploration rights in waters Somalia says are within its boundary. The disputed 100 square kilometre area has been identified as potentially rich in oil and gas. Kenya has already said it will not recognise the court's ruling. For more on this, let's bring in Malcolm Webb, who's been covering the story for us in Nairobi. Hello there, Malcolm. Tell us more about the court's ruling, which was largely in favour of Somalia.
Well, the International Court of Justice ruling was largely in favour of Somalia, although one of Kenya's requests was accepted. It has a slither of the disputed maritime territory, but most of it goes to Somalia. And as you said, it's widely believed to be rich in oil and gas deposits. It's also important to understand that rich natural resource wealth in this region almost always leads to a great deal of personal wealth for people in positions of power. These are two countries where corruption is widespread. It is also widely understood that the people in both countries who've had their eye on these oil and gas reserves are also have international oil companies and other partners behind them. But the court has ruled for now that most of this this maritime territory does indeed go to Somalia, and only a little bit of what was disputed is going to Kenya.
Thank you for that update, Malcolm Webb, there for us live in Nairobi. Appreciate your time. A reminder now of the competing claims between the two countries. At stake is control of 100,000 square kilometre stretch of the Indian Ocean, with prospects of vast oil and gas deposits, as we heard. Kenya says its maritime border should be drawn in a straight line east, parallel to the line of latitude. Somalia, however, says it should be expanded further south as an extension of its land border. The dispute has further strained relations between the neighbours. Let's bring in now an expert on maritime law and international law. His name is George Wakoya. Hello there, George. Thanks for joining us. What impact is this ruling going to have on Somalia and Kenya, particularly given how rich these deep waters may be with oil and gas?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me on this program. The impact is great. The impact is great, given the fact that Somalia has been given a larger chunk of land, which means that it's going to reduce Kenya into a landlocked country. Even if it will have a small passage, it will not have an exclusive enjoyment of an exclusive economic zone, which means that the Kenyan economic future in the sea, in the blue chip economics, is going to be reduced to some extent. Secondly, the impact also has got far-reaching consequences, whereby both parties now have to find out a solution or federation, whether they want to renegotiate deals separately from the ruling, whether they want to have some kind of an accord, or whether Kenya has got any way of leverage of appealing, which I don't see because they walked out of the court. We don't know.
George, while these rulings by the World Court are final, is there any way of enforcement?
Yes, there are so many mechanisms of enforcement. Number one, we are dealing with international law, and we are dealing with the International Court of Final Jurisdiction, and you are also dealing with the Court of Compulsory Jurisdiction, which is actually which stems its powers from the United Nations, where the guiding master in this case is the United Nations Security Council. Therefore, if it comes to enforcement, yes, there are ways in which Somalia can choose to reinforce, not necessarily by force, but it can go into a negotiated solution by asking Kenya to cooperate, or the United Nations to come in, or the superpowers to come in, or other partners to come in, and have a way out of the whole situation by having a negotiated settlement. But if Kenya tries or attempts to use force, then that can escalate into war, which is not necessary at the moment. So Kenya is also at a precarious position, a precarious position where it can also opt to negotiate with Somalia, because these two countries are brothers and they have always depended on each other, given the fact that you have a cross-section of citizens who are trading, who have been trading, and we also have Somalis who live in Kenya, born in Kenya. We have Somalis who live in Somalia, born and raised in Somalia. So they should look out for a negotiated settlement.
It doesn't sound, though, that Kenya will cooperate, you know, with the attempts to boycott the public hearings and the like. I mean, how confident are you that they will cooperate?
They may not cooperate, because a day before yesterday, some of the government officials paraded the army when they were issuing a press conference, which in itself was a violation of international law, which actually violated the articles of war, which may lead... The wordings that the permanent secretary was saying, that they are ready at any time and parading some of the senior cadre of military, would actually suggest that we are ready for war, and in which case Somalia could use that clause in the UN, I think it should be Article 39 or 41, of preemptation clause to declare war on King. So that, to me, was not necessary. It wasn't necessary to parade the army and issue such declaratory statements before the verdict. That means they were undermining the court's jurisdiction. They ought to have waited for the outcome of the case.
Well, there are plenty of moving parts to this story. Watch this space. Thank you for your insights. George Wajakoya is an expert on maritime and international law. Thank you.
Thank you very much.